please consider making a special Advent gift to Issues Etc. With 4 weeks left in the year, we're almost $62,000 short of making expenses. You can make a year-end tax-deductible contribution by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a year-end donation online at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us during the Advent season. The Academy of Ancient Music with Comfort, Comfort Ye My People from Handel's Messiah, the familiar words of the prophet Isaiah. In fact, if you think about it, they're actually God's words to Isaiah, a command to the Old Testament prophet, comfort my people. And this is after some significant discomfort that God had sent through the other prophets for that same people. What's the context for these words? We know that the context in which we hear them is often this season, the Advent season of the church. They're there, and we often read them with a little bit of holly and a Christmas garland wrapped around them, but that's not the original context there, although the fulfillment of these words certainly comes with the incarnation and the giving of the Messiah, who is the comfort of God's people, Old and New Testament. Joining us to continue our series on Christ in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 40, Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. He is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. He hosts a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, welcome back.
It's great to be here, Todd.
This is one of those things that gets pulled out of its context, not to bad effect necessarily. The church uses it beautifully, but it helps to always kind of root it back in its Old Testament context. What situation do God's people find themselves in, wherein God speaks to the prophet Isaiah saying, now go comfort them?
Yeah, well, we have to actually go back further to Isaiah 7, where you have King Ahaz, who is on the throne. He's a son of David, and he becomes very anxious and very concerned because he hears this word that the king of the northern Israel kingdom is going to team up with the king of Syria, and they're going to knock him off the throne. And so you have this concern that the son of David will not be on his throne. Therefore, this promised kingdom, this eternal kingdom that the son of David would bring, will not happen. And so back in Isaiah 7, this is where the prophet Isaiah gives them these comforting words and assures the house of David that the plan of northern Israel and Syria will not come to pass, that there will be a son. His name will be Emmanuel, and he will bring the eternal kingdom. He is God with us. And so you have that promise given to Ahaz. Well, now we're at King Hezekiah. And so Ahaz, when he was ruling, he continued to lead the people astray and misinform them, leading them away from trust in this promise of Emmanuel. Well, when Hezekiah comes into office, and now he's on the throne, he stops this, and he starts a reform where he starts to reform what was deformed with his father. And so during the days of Hezekiah, he's listening to Isaiah for the most part, and he's got the Assyrian Empire who's coming in and knocking at his door, ready to take over the city. Isaiah is assuring him that this will not happen. But then the previous chapter, in chapter 39, this is where Hezekiah kind of, he entertains these envoys from Babylon, and he takes them around the city of Jerusalem, and they get a tour of the city, they look at all the treasures, and then they leave. And when Isaiah gets word of this, Isaiah says, what are you doing? Because this sounds a lot like you're putting your trust and you're trying to make political alliances with these Babylonians rather than trusting in Yahweh. And so immediately Isaiah gives them this word from the Lord in chapter 39, behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and that which your fathers have stored up till this day, it shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says Yahweh. And so you have in 39, even though Hezekiah, for the most part, was listening to the prophet Isaiah, all of a sudden you get this kind of leaning towards the Babylonian empire, and Isaiah says, this is the same problem as your father had when he was leaning towards the Egyptians. And so now that you lean towards the Babylonians, you will be taken off into Babylon. And so that's where 39 ends, that the Israelites, the Jews in southern Judah, in Jerusalem, will be taken off into exile. And so you have this captivity that is proclaimed. And that's where you have the opening of chapter 40 in verse 1. So although you will be taken off and captive in exile and taken to this foreign kingdom, yet for the sake of the remnant, those who continue to listen to the word of Yahweh and live by faith, trusting in this promise that the Messiah will come, this eternal kingdom will come, that he gives to them these words of comfort, and that's where chapter 40, verse 1 starts. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. So these are the words of comfort that Isaiah is giving to the people, even after announcing that they will be taken off to Babylon.
Now, this comfort is, this is a promise of a future comfort, but it isn't totally bound up with, or it isn't totally fulfilled in just, you're going off to exile, but don't worry, you'll come back. There's more to it than that.
Well, yeah, and so you have this understanding throughout the Old Testament, the righteous shall live by faith. And so you live in this world, in this fallen world, where you see everything falling apart, but yet you trust this promise that Yahweh's salvation will restore all of this fallen creation. And so you continue to trust in this problem, in this promise, in the midst of the problems, I should say. I get a little confused there, but you're trusting in the promise in the midst of all these problems. And so this even goes back to Isaiah 12, which of course was on the hinges of Isaiah 11, talking about this promised son of David, this root of Jesse. But in Isaiah 12, he says that you will say, in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Yahweh, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. And behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and I will not be afraid, for Yahweh is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. And so this whole understanding here is that the sin of the people has provoked the anger of God. And because of this, there will be a punishment. They will be taken off into captivity. But yet, while they're in captivity, they continue to have this word of comfort, knowing that their sin has caused God's anger and punishment, yet they know that God will comfort them. He will restore them. He will return them. So your anger has been turned away that you might comfort me. And so in Isaiah 40, this is the whole point where the humbling of the people of God has now been completed, and so now you have this fulfillment that you'll be comforted as you return from Babylon back to Jerusalem, and then you can again wait for the coming one who will come to Jerusalem, who will die on the cross, and who will usher in this eternal kingdom.
With about a minute here before we take our first break with you, Pastor Ketchelmeyer, it sounds like what you're saying here is this isn't God does not punish his people the way he punishes the other nations. The other nations, he will punish them and cut them off forever. But these people, in spite of their great sin, in spite of the fact that they act completely like the other nations, he will always preserve a remnant for himself. They will always remain his people.
Yeah, and see, so this is the unique place that the people of God have in salvation history, that it's only the people of Israel that have this revealed knowledge of the salvation of God, the mystery of the incarnation. None of the other nations have this revealed knowledge. So when the other nations, they experience this wrath and this destruction, they don't have any promise to cling to. They have nowhere to run for refuge. But the people of God, when they experience this wrath and this danger and this affliction and this suffering and this pain, they can cling to this promise. Because in those days, what the Lord desires is they would turn to Him. And they would trust in Him alone for salvation.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. We're continuing our weekly series with him, Christ in the Old Testament. This is an easy one. It's a great one, and it's really comforting. Isaiah chapter 40 on this Thursday afternoon, December the 4th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. The Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Greenville, South Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Chatfield, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Napoleon, Ohio. First Lutheran, Lufkin, Texas. Concordia Lutheran, Sykeston, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Granite City, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Gladson, Alabama. And Lord of Life Lutheran, Chesterfield, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Christ Jesus, the image of the invisible God. For unto us a child is born. The titles of Christ, Good News of Great Joy, the Magnificat. These are some of the Christ-focused themes offered by Ad Crucem this Christmas. Shop adcrucem.com for greeting cards, gifts, housewares, ornaments, music, and much, much more. Available from adcrucem.com, confessing the faith through word and art. adcrucem.com, adcrucem.com.
Hi, this is Pastor Mark Azil, the LCMS Director of Campus Ministry and LCMSU, inviting all college students and those with an interest in campus ministry to join us for Taboo, the 2015 National LCMS Campus Ministry Conference, this coming January 5th through 7th at St. Louis University in St. Louis. That's right, it's Taboo in the Lou. Find out more at lcms.org/LCMSU.
Education and edification. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Shall be exalted.
Every valley shall be exalted from Handel's Messiah. Marvelous setting for the words of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. We're talking about the 40th chapter of Isaiah's prophecy. Christ in the Old Testament, every week with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, host of a weekly radio show called Redeemer Theological Academy. You can check out that show under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Brian, if you would, just take us into this concept of comfort before we get into the following verses of Isaiah chapter 40.
Sure. This idea of comfort, I mean, this is not an artificial concept of comfort, that you go off into captivity and you say, oh, I wish you well and everything will be okay. And just the sun will come out tomorrow and a smile is on its way. I mean, it's not this artificial type of an understanding. It is this peace that is beyond all comprehension, the peace that only the Lord himself can give. So you take this comfort, you take this promise into these times of turmoil. I mean, these are horrible times. This whole idea of a warfare brings death. And this death and bloodshed and mourning, all of this takes place. And so it's not just that you're going on vacation. I mean, these are going to be very, very difficult times. And so this comfort is this comfort that God himself can give. And so this whole idea of comfort, I mean, when you look back at the book of Genesis, it opens up with the gift of life. You have Adam, who is given the gift of life, and then it closes with the death of Joseph. And so you have life, and then you have death, and you have an entire book where you were given the gift of life, but now you have this mourning, this sadness, this horrible, just the idea of losing this life, so that you see, like Isaac, when he loses his mother dies, she is comforted. Or even Joseph, when Joseph confronts his brothers down in Egypt, and they're fearful that now they're going to die because Jacob has died, and now Joseph's going to get even. And so he comforts them. He assures them that he's not going to put them to death. Instead, because he's been exalted to the right hand of Pharaoh, he will sustain them, and they shall not die. And so this is this whole idea is that throughout the book of Genesis, you have death coming, and you have this need of comfort. But it ends on the note of just death. And when you're pointing all towards Christ, who is the only one who can truly bring comfort. And you ultimately see this at the end of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, in chapter 21, when death shall be no more, and neither shall there be any more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. All these former things have passed away. And so he alone can bring that comfort. In fact, in the book of Genesis, when you have the name given to Noah, Noah himself, as he's born, it seems like Noah is going to be the one who brings comfort. And so you have in Genesis chapter 5, when Lamech gives him the name Noah, he says that, well, out of the ground that Yahweh has cursed, this one shall bring us comfort from our work and from the painful toil of our hands. And so there's that Hebrew play on this word Noah, Noach. It sounds like it's similar to the word for comfort. which is Nakam. And so there's this idea that there's one who will bring comfort from all of this toil and all of this pain. And when they see the warfare and the bloodshed and the death, and I mean just at an incredible rate, then when Isaiah gives them these words of comfort, comfort, my people, says your God. This is this promise, this assurance that even in the midst of this death, his promise is still given to them, that they belong to him. He is their God. They are his people. And so when they're taken off into this exile into Babylon, it is the remnant that is to be comforted with this consolation that ultimately will come with Christ, the one who will bring all of this mourning of death to an end. And so Christ will be the one who will return us all to God, who will free us from captivity to the devil. And so in this Babylonian captivity, when a foreign kingdom tries to prevent God's kingdom from coming, and now you are released from this tyranny, and you return to Jerusalem so you can hear the promise of the Messiah, the preaching of the Christ and his work, this all testifies to the coming of Christ bringing his kingdom. It's in a very similar way that when Jesus goes around with all these healing miracles, when he heals the blind and the deaf and the mute and the lame and the lepers, all of these people who are living in this condition because of the fall into sin, he heals them. So he makes eyes see like they were supposed to. He makes ears hear like they should. He makes mouths speak like they should so they can hear the word of God. They can proclaim his praise. But when Jesus is restoring humanity in these miraculous healing events, that testifies ultimately to what Jesus does to restore our corrupted human nature that will eventually be seen in the resurrection of the body on the last day. So now we are in this process of being healed for those who are in Christ or a new creation, but on that last day, this will be fully realized when we no longer will have death, we'll no longer have all of these ailments that are plaguing us, and we won't even be constantly tyrannized by sin and the devil. In fact, we won't even be able to sin at all.
The words here are, speak tenderly to Jerusalem, cry to her that her warfare is ended. You mentioned that just a few minutes ago, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. That's one you kind of have to sort out, because in fact, in its fulfillment in Christ, it's not we who receive double for all of our sins. Talk about that.
Well, this is when you look at these passages and you see kind of in the English it says speak tenderly to Jerusalem. This idea really in the Hebrew is you're speaking it into the heart. And so you're imprinting this promise in the heart so that the heart itself is changed. The heart becomes renewed and the heart continues to trust in this promise. This is the idea that you have throughout the Old Testament is that because of this corrupted nature, our heart is always either it has a tendency to stray. Our heart looks for evil and wicked things that we try to fill our heart with. But instead, you're going to speak this word of comfort into the heart. And so how do you speak this word of comfort? It's preaching. It's preaching the word about Christ, who he is and what he does. For he alone can pardon iniquity. And so he is the one who gives to us double instead of what we deserve. And so when we look at this, in this passage, you have things like recompense and reward. These are all ideas of wages. And of course, in one aspect, Christ will get the recompense, the reward, if you will, the wages of what is due. He will get the punishment. But then it flips over because he gets that, then we get the wages of his labor. And so then he gets a double portion for our sin, but at the same time we get a double gift because he takes it away. And so this is this whole idea here that you're to preach this, to cry out that the warfare has ended. And this is what Paul does, like in 2 Thessalonians, when he's talking to the baptized there in Thessalonica. He says, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and deed. And so again, it's this idea of comforting the heart, that you're speaking this word of Christ into the heart, that it would reside in the heart, that you would continue to then be renewed in this fallen world. You begin to actually gladly want to hear and learn God's word. And in this passage right here, I think what's really profound is if you look at the Septuagint, when the rabbinical, the translators, the rabbis, they're trying to take this passage and translate it into Greek. So this is, of course, way after the days of Isaiah. But what they do in the Septuagint is they add the word priest here. So who is to speak tenderly to Jerusalem? Who's supposed to speak this word of comfort into the hearts? It's the priests who are supposed to speak this word. It's their duty to preach this word of the person and work of Christ. And this is, in fact, the whole reason why in the early church they would call the preachers of the gospel priests, because this is the job of a priest, is to speak this comfort into the heart about who Jesus is and what Jesus does. Of course, it's not until the time of the Middle Ages and the Western Church where they deform all of this, like under the days of King Ahaz, and they make a priest out into somebody who has to offer up a sacrifice, and so he offers up the sacrifice of the Mass. And that's why we in the Lutheran circles don't really like the term priest, because it has that medieval connotation in the Western Church. But if we could restore this proper understanding that a priest is one who speaks comfort, the comfort that only Christ can give, into the heart, then we could rightfully call preachers of the gospel priests. And so in the days of Isaiah, the priests were not doing it. And so after this, the Babylonian captivity and being brought back, and then in the time when they translate this into Greek, the rabbis are going to make it clear that this is the job of the priest, is to speak this comfort, to speak Christ into the hearts.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. When we come back, we'll move to the following verses of Isaiah chapter 40. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and he joins us every week for our series on Christ in the Old Testament. Today, Isaiah 40. Mary's song, the Magnificat, the song of the angels' announcement to the shepherds, Simeon's song of praise in the temple. The Issues, Etc. book of the month is titled The Songs of Christmas. This new arch book would make a great Christmas gift for children ages 2 through 10. The Songs of Christmas is published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. A great stocking stuffer for young children or grandchildren, The Songs of Christmas.
Are you planning a corporate luncheon, a theme party, or an anniversary celebration? Lunch for the Bunch Catering has been serving Greater St. Louis for more than 15 years with professional staff, appealing presentation, and culinary excellence. Find out more at lunchforthebunch.com or call 618-344-1921. 618-344-1921. Lunch for the Bunch in O'Fallon, Illinois. lunchforthebunch.com.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Clark, that's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
Maybe getting a faithful pastor seems as exciting as a membership in the Jelly of the Month Club, but that kind of thinking can lead to the unbiblical removal of pastors from the office of the Holy Ministry, the topic of our next ACELC conference, February 10th through 12th in Kansas City, Missouri. Register at acelc.net, because faithful pastors really are a gift that keeps on giving. See why at acelc.net.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com. That's Handel's Messiah, quoting there from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 5. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. We're talking about Isaiah 40 in our series on Christ in the Old Testament with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. In the next week or two, college students are going to be home for the long Christmas break. Why not send your college-age child or grandchild to a conference sponsored by LCMSU. It's called Taboo. It's held January the 5th through the 7th on the campus of St. Louis University. They're going to be teaching on topics like dating, marriage, sexuality. It's called Taboo, January the 5th through the 7th at St. Louis University. And for more information, click the Taboo logo at our website, issuesetc.org. Issuesetc.org. Look for that Taboo logo. Pastor Ketchelmeyer, there's more to say about this theme of priests speaking comfort. Pick up where you left off.
Yeah, so in the days of Isaiah, the priests were supposed to be proclaiming this. I mean, this is the only way you can have the pardon of your iniquities. And the whole Levitical sacrificial system is put into place to show us the reality to come, that blood must be shed, and that this blood is atoned for when you have a substitution, the animal substitute in your place, but ultimately God himself will come in the flesh, Emmanuel, and he will take our place, and he will atone for sin. So this is what the priests are supposed to do, and as we've seen many times before, they're not doing it, and so that's why Yahweh sends the prophets, and the prophets get the people back on track to hear this message of peace, this comforting preaching. And so the same things now happen in the days of John the Baptizer. So the Jewish translators, when they translate this into Greek, they make it clear that it's the job of the priest to speak this word of comfort about the Christ in the hearts. But by the time you get to the baptizer, it's not happening. And recall that in those days, John the Baptizer's dad himself, Zechariah, was a Levitical priest. He was on duty in the holy place of the temple when the angel came to him and he gave him this message about the birth of his son. And so this is the Levitical priest at the temple. They're working, and then the son of Zechariah goes out into the wilderness. And so here you have a son of Aaron, a Levite, a priest, who's out in the wilderness preaching there and not preaching at the temple. So, of course, this raises a suspicion with the other priest. What is he preaching out there? What is he doing? Why is he doing this? And so the priest from Jerusalem sent an envoy to John to question him. And you get this in the gospel according to the evangelist John. And you have this this testimony here where John says who he is, that he's not the Christ, because they're asking him, who are you? Are you the Christ? Are you the prophet? Why are you preaching, and what are you doing? And the whole answer then of the baptizer is this: I'm the voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of Yahweh, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now, all of this ties into what the prophet Malachi also confirmed with Isaiah. So Malachi's he's telling these priests that they're supposed to be preaching this message of comfort of Christ and his person and his work, but they're not. And so in Malachi, you have in chapter 3 that, behold, I will send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And so this, of course, is the baptizer who prepares the way for Yahweh, the coming one. And, of course, in Malachi chapter 4, you have this light who comes after John the baptizer, who bears witness to this light, is the Son of Righteousness, who arises with healing in his wings. And, of course, in Malachi, he will purify the sons of Levi. Now, eventually in the book of Acts in chapter 6, we are told that as the word of the Lord continued to increase, a great many of the priests actually became hearers of the gospel and then proclaimers of it themselves.
With only about 30 seconds here, our time grows short. How would you summarize the comfort that Isaiah is commanded to speak to the Old Testament people of God and to us? About 30 seconds.
Well, the comfort is preaching Christ, and this is really why Noah then can be called a preacher of righteousness, and this is exactly how Noah brings comfort. You bring comfort when you bring Christ, and you set this in the heart of the hearer.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. He hosts a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy, and next week we'll talk with him about Isaiah chapter 61. Brian, thanks for being our guest.
Great to be here, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss This Week in Pop American Christianity. Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith will be our guest. We'll also talk with Terry Mattingly of GetReligion.org about a Washington Post featuring Tom Hanks and his recipient of a major award. Do they get what makes that celebrity tick? And then we'll also discuss St. Nicholas. Dr. James Buescher will be our guest. The only comfort that there is, whether it be Isaiah speaking comfort to the Old Testament people as they head off into exile, the comfort that they will return, the comfort that God has not forgotten them, that he has not thrown them off like the heathen nations, the only comfort that there is there for those people then, or for that matter for us today, is in Christ, the one who comes and with his very body makes a sacrifice for sin. That is our only comfort. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc. I'll talk with you tomorrow.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.
Are you concerned that nativity scenes aren't being displayed in public places? Why not display one at your church or your home? The Outdoor Nativity Store produces durable, affordable, and American-made outdoor nativities for Christians around the world. To view a variety of nativity sets, visit OutdoorNativityStore.com. These nativities will hold up under the harshest weather conditions, snow, ice, and wind. The Outdoor Nativity Store, OutdoorNativityStore.com.